Okay, everybody, if I can have your attention, please. We're ready to get going. And it's with great pleasure that I get to introduce tonight's speaker, who not only a sister in this program, but a friend. And it's a pleasure to introduce the fabulous Kim F.
Fabulous, Kim F. Dang. Whew. Well, this has been an exciting evening. I haven't even gotten started yet. Dang. Okay, first of all, my name is Kim Floria.
Hi, Kim.
And I want to thank Jack for asking me to come out and speak tonight. I was out here 8 years ago, just before I married this guy, and Lynn says, oh, don't worry, not much has really happened in 8 years. So, but I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon, and I like to say my last name for a couple reasons. A, I don't believe we're not autonomous in the program. I'm not autonomous in the program. And also, I might have a real Al-Anon slip one day and kill him, and then I need visitors at the prison, so you can't just say, I want to go see Kim F, because I'm sure there's a few Kims who have killed their husbands on the floor I'm going to be on. So, Kim Floria, keep it in mind. If you don't see me for a while, you know where to find me. I'm going to be celebrating a birthday next month. I'll be 50. I know it's hard to believe. I'll be 50. And I'll also be celebrating 24 years in Al-Anon. And I know I look like I came in when I was 2, but it wasn't really 2. I was 26 when I came in the program. And I came in the program because I was kind of living with an alcoholic. No, wait, I wasn't living with him yet. I didn't meet him yet. I met the other... Oh, yeah, anyway. I came into Al-Anon because I had a friend who's in the other program, and several years ago she said, Kim, your behavior's kind of weird. You might want to try Al-Anon. And I didn't think there was anything wrong with my behavior before I came into Al-Anon. I did drive-bys on a regular basis. I was known as the drive-by queen when I came in here. I snooped. I basically stalked. There are laws against that now. There really weren't too many back then. And she said, I think you need Al-Anon. And I went to an Al-Anon meeting. Wouldn't you know, it was like 4 blocks away from my house. And I should have gone there years before, but I didn't stay. And what happened was my life got crazy. And what I share tonight, I share only from the perspective of being in Al-Anon. I didn't know I was really crazy when I got here. You guys all probably knew that, but I certainly didn't know I was crazy. I come from an alcoholic family. Wait, erase. I come from a family whose behavior bothers me. I don't know if they're alcoholics. I don't know if they're drug addicts. I don't know if they're overeaters. I just know I came out of the chute, and there was something wrong. And my mom was 18 when she had my sister, and she was 20 when she had me. And my mom was crazy. My mom was raised in a crazy time with crazy parents, so she was crazy. And I'm not here to tell anybody's story except mine, so I'm not here to talk bad about my family or to blame them or to shame them. I'm just who I am, and I don't know if being born in that family made me who I was or having the chromosomes and the genes and that just being born into that family kind of nourished that craziness part of me. But so my mom was 20 when she had the two of us, and she was married to a redhead who liked to smoke dope, from what I understand, and she found it necessary after a couple years of marriage to leave that marriage and get into another marriage. And this one was with a nice Irish Catholic guy. They both were, actually. I'm from Chicago, so there's a lot of Irish Catholic drinkers in Chicago. We throw green shit in the river every year for St. Patrick's Day. It's the best town to go partying when you're, even if you know someone who's Irish, like, I'm Irish. She went from one crazy family to another. And what happened was, that family became crazy. And what I understand today is when my mom married that guy, she had every intention of staying married to him. And he had every intention of staying married to her. And here was this nice Irish Catholic. He was 20 when he took us on, and we were a handful. And they were happy. You know, they were happy. And my mom, to this day, would say he is the one that, her soulmate, and they haven't been married in 30 years. You know, so I believe before alcoholism takes over, life has a chance. And then once alcoholism takes over, there's no chance. There's no chance for survival. And my mom divorced my dad when I was 13. And my second one, who legally adopted us. So my first family was put to the side, and we were thrown into this new family. And, you know, my mom says, well, what a perfect time to divorce my dad, you know, when I'm 13. You know, that's a tenuous age for a girl. And I went wild. I was probably wild before then, but I went really crazy. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll were my theme growing up in high school. Maybe not all in that order, but some combination of the three. Once I found boys, it was on. I'm sure none of you can relate to that. You guys all look so nice. I know better, because I always wanted to be a cheerleader in high school, you know, but I was with the stoners, and I always looked bad, and I always thought, they all look so nice, and they don't do the things I do. I found out later they do the things I do. They just dress better than I did. I didn't know that in high school. I wish someone would have told me that. I wouldn't have been so resentful and jealous of the cheerleaders all those years. But anyway, my mom divorced my dad, and I was just crazy. I barely graduated high school. In Chicago, we had a huge class. Looking back, it feels like there were 10,000, but it was a huge class, and I was literally probably like on the list from superstar student to, you know, I was down here. You know, I could barely focus in school. My mom used to say, D grades are good instead of the grades, because all I got were D's. D grades are good. So D grades were good until I got to college, and D grades aren't good when you get to college. But anyway, so I was an out-of-control teenager, just insane out of control. I put my parents through a lot of hell, and I sponsor women today who have kids, and I'll tell you, when they call and tell me about their kids, I'm like, because I totally know, because I grew up in crazy, and I added to the craziness. I graduated high school. Barely. Remember, D grades were good, and D grades passed. And right after high school, my mom ran away. She ran away to Southern California here, and she ran away from me. Can you imagine? Look how cute I am. She ran away from me. And she actually said, I've had enough of you. I've got to go. And so she left, and I lived with my dad for a couple months. And I don't know about you, but there was a point I just thought, well, if I just do one more thing, it'll be okay. And so I lived with my dad, who I hadn't lived with in years, and I had such expectations that he would come home every night and we would have dinner and we'd sit around the TV and it would be joyful. Yay. Now, that never happened before. I don't know why I thought it was going to start happening now. And it didn't. And I think he came home in 4 months, probably one time for dinner. And my dad didn't wake up and say, how am I going to screw Kim's life up today? How am I going to mess my family's life up today? I'm sure he had every intention of coming home for dinner, just like he did when I was growing up. I'm sure he had every intention. He got up in the morning, went to work. My dad had a great job, made a great living, was very successful. And the disease of alcoholism just, you know, screwed that whole plan up. Screwed my plan up, because just when he was making money, they separated. I'm a money, property, and prestige kind of chick. I'm like, oh, now you have money and you're divorcing? Oh. No resentment there. But anyway, it's hot with this light on. I'm having a moment, don't mind me. So I moved out to Southern California, and so I was 18, just graduated high school. Still pretty out of control. I had no tools on how to live life. My mom was a single mom for years, and, you know, there was that TV show, what's the one with Bonnie with the red hair and the two daughters, anyway, in the 80s. Yeah. That was us, you know. I was the good little second born, and my sister was a crazy first born. And that was our life. And when my mom moved, I didn't really know what to do. So when I followed her out here, I still didn't know what to do. But I sort of got my act together. At least it looked like on the outside. I met a couple hymns on the way. And did I mention the hymns? I met him on the way, like kindergarten. I swear, like in third grade, some boy gave me a ring. And I was like, and my mom made me give it back, and I didn't like it. But I thought that was my first exposure to boys, and how exciting they were. You guys are an exciting group tonight. Holy cow. When Jack said, you want to speak at the meeting, I thought, 120 men. Oh, you know, every crazy Al-Anon's dream, like, to have all your attention, you know. I have my husband's here, so it doesn't matter. But years ago, it would have been on with a couple of you in this room. I heard some of your stories. Yeah. So I moved out to Southern California and started dating this guy. And I didn't know I was crazy until I got here. And I didn't know I was crazy when we lived on Sepulveda and Sherman Way. I don't know if anybody's familiar with Van Nuys. My mom never came to the apartment. I don't know why. Maybe the roaches. I don't know. But yeah, I would go across the street to the Jack in the Box, which is just literally right across from our apartment. And instead of him going, because he was home doing his thing, and I had to eat, so he would say, "You go across the street," and I would bring the butcher knife. I'm not lying. I'd bring a knife with me in my pocket and say, "If I'm not back in an hour, you know what to do. Call the police." I'm like he would ever call the police with everything that was in the apartment. So those are the things I would do. I would go across the street because he was busy, and I would call in sick because he was busy and he had a hangover, and I would start fights with people because, I don't know, it just seemed like the thing to do. And so this guy and I, his name is Tim, and it's funny because my son's name is Tim and he has red hair. He had red hair too, but it's not connected, but it's just kind of ironic anyway. I don't know why I said that. So Tim and I started our journey of craziness, and I don't know about you, but I never meet normal people. Sorry, honey. I don't meet normal people who want to just like go to church on Sunday and maybe go to the movies. You know, those aren't the kind of people I meet. I meet the crazy people who we just kind of go out and we just get crazy. And, you know, I love alcoholic ideas. Let's drive to Mammoth and go skiing. Okay, good idea. You know, it's 2 a.m. Great idea. And off we'd go in the car and we wouldn't get far. I don't know why that happened. And I think, why did I listen to his great idea? And I love all the alcoholics' great ideas because I don't always have my great ideas. I'm like, oh, you have a great idea. So Tim and I started our journey, and to tell you where I was emotionally and spiritually at the time, I got pregnant when I was like 20 or something like that, and I terminated that pregnancy. And the only thing that I thought of, and this will tell you where I was he's not going to want to be with me anymore. Now what do I do? And that's where it was. Not anything what I did spiritually, emotionally, none of that mattered. What mattered is, oh boy, now he's going to leave. And I should have been so lucky, but he stayed another 2 years or so. But that just tells you where I was. You know, I had no self-esteem. I would have sold my soul for his attention and anybody's attention. You know, I was, like I said, I was the problem child in school. I was always the jokester, always looking for attention. And I always got it, you know, and I got it in the wrong ways. So that relationship started this spiral of when my friend said, "I think you need an Al-Anon meeting." I just didn't know how to handle life. And when that relationship ended, you know, there's always an ace in the hole somewhere, and I just kept finding them. And I wish I would have found a nice guy that would have said, "Kim, we don't have to do it this way anymore," you know. But I didn't. And I got into another relationship because all of us, I don't know about you, my experience, I'm not single long. Ask him. I'm not single long, you know. And I got into another relationship, and this one moved in after 3 weeks, and I really didn't know his last name. I didn't know his last name. I knew it started with a Y. It's true. I'm like, you got me on that one. I don't know. And he came over for our first date, and he said, "I'm sober 30 days. And I thought, great, because I was tired of playing. You know, I was tired. So I'm like, great. And 3 weeks later, he came in with a load of laundry, and I kicked my roommate out, and he came in, and it was on. You know, it was just on like that, just where I'd left off. And the thing with that relationship, he reminded me so much of my dad. Well, other than he didn't really work much and didn't have a lot of money, but he drank like my dad, he smoked like my dad. Just something about him reminded me of my dad. And I wish he would have worked, but that's the one I would call in and say, "Oh, I'm sorry, he's not feeling good today, he can't come to work." You know, I don't know if any of you have done that, but it's kind of a weird conversation when you're calling their boss. No one ever called my boss to say I wasn't coming in, because I had 3 jobs. He had none. I had 3. So we started our journey, and this is when I got to Al-Anon. And what happened was, how we met was, we met at a DUI class. I forgot to tell you that part. I got a DUI, and I was sitting in the class, because I had to do the DUI class, and this is the truth. And I'm looking at him, and he had a nice pair of gym shoes on. And I wanted him just because he had expensive gym shoes. And literally, I was so shallow. I didn't want him because, again, that he goes to church and that he has morals and he has a good family and he has all those good things, all those good qualities. No, he has nice gym shoes. I didn't know when he moved in 3 weeks later that the gym shoes were like the last thing he paid for with a check or something from his last job. I didn't know he didn't have money, but he looked like he had money. And so what happened is I got into Al-Anon. I couldn't drive for a while, needless to say, because of the DUI. So he would drive me to my Al-Anon meeting. And he was so happy to send me on my way. Like, go to your meeting, Kim. Don't you have to go to your meeting? Yeah, I have to go to my meeting. And he would drive me to my meeting, and he would not pick me up from my meeting. I don't know what happened. I'd have to get a ride home from someone. And that went on for a couple years. And I don't know about you, but every time I moved the line in the sand, I would move it out even further. And I was thinking about this the other day. I want to believe each time there is a sober period, even if it's 30 seconds, even if it's, oh, he didn't drink this morning, I want to believe each time there's a sober period that things are going to change. And he's the one that all of my really super duper crazy stuff came out. I would believe that he wasn't cheating on me, and every time I found a phone number, I would believe one more time, I'm not cheating on you, Kim. I found a phone number one time, and he said, Kim, this lady has boxer puppies, and I'm getting you a boxer puppy, because he knows they're my favorite dogs. And I went, oh, he's getting me boxer puppies. Oh, that's what it is. Not that he's cheating on me. He's getting me boxer puppies. And then he said, you can call and check if you want, but I don't know why you would. I don't know why I would either. Why would I call the check on that? That sounds like a viable story. I love boxers. He's going to get me a boxer. I never got a boxer. What I got was more lies and me wanting to believe the lie. Each time there's a lie, I just want to believe it. I just want to believe it because to not believe it means I have to come out of reality and I have to face everything I'm feeling. And I don't want to do that. No, thank you. Been there, done that. Don't need to look at that. And so our relationship was crazy like that. And so when I started going to Al-Anon, things changed a little bit. I'm short. I'm from Chicago, like I said, and I think I'm like 10 feet tall on a good day. And he would, one time, he was smoking some funny stuff in the garage, and I really didn't know at the time what drugs were. I mean, but I didn't really know what it was like. And so I remember hitting him as he was, and he turned around and he looked at me and he said, if you don't get out of my way, I'm going to throw you through the wall. And I thought, why would you throw me through the wall? I'm just trying to get your attention. But I got the attention. I have to step back because this guy, he wasn't very big, but he was going to throw me through the wall. And I don't know about you, but I push it just a little further. I am the instigator of most of my pain in my life. My mouth opens before I even have a thought, and I'm on him. And I was in Al-Anon at that time, and I remember calling someone at like 2 in the morning. I'm like, hello? And she answered, and she's like, are you okay? Yeah, I'm okay. It's 2 in the morning. Of course I'm okay. I'm totally fine. I'm just calling to see how you're doing, you know? And she's like, I'm freaking sleeping like you should be. So I don't do the 2 a.m. phone calls. I'll do the 6 a.m., so don't call me at 2 a.m. Call me at 6, then I'll be up for the day. If you call me at 2, I won't go back to sleep. So luckily people in the program answer their phone at 2 o'clock. I am not one of them. So I started going to Al-Anon, and I got a sponsor, and I thoroughly, wholeheartedly advocate sponsorship. And if you don't have a sponsor, you're doing yourself a real disservice. Or if you have a sponsor and not using the sponsor, you're doing yourself a real disservice. I got a sponsor in the program about 6 months or so in the program. She was an older woman, and I've shared this before, and I share it all the time. She invited me out to dinner. It was around the holidays, and she invited me with all her sponsees out to dinner to that German restaurant in Van Nuys. And it was all decorated, and it was beautiful, and she paid for the whole thing, and I got dressed up, and all her girls got dressed up, and it was so fun. No one had invited me anywhere that I needed to get dressed up for in a long time. And I was like, oh my gosh. I was speechless. Like, why would she invite me to her shindig? And she did. And so she got me early on, she got me to where I could breathe. And then I got another sponsor, Alev, and I had her for 6 years. And what happened was I met Alev on one of the weekends, and I got back on Sunday or whatever, and the next day I called her from the payphone. Most of you remember payphones. You don't have the young crowd. Payphone? What's that? Ooh, it's in the museum. I remember calling her from the payphone, you know, just a day or so after that retreat. And I don't know what she said to me. All I know is that when she hung up, she said, "I love you, Kim." And I hung up and I cried. I thought, well, how could she love me? She doesn't even really know me. And so she became my sponsor. And I got to work my steps with my sponsor for the first time. And it took me a couple years to, I don't advocate it. I think we're so, me, I'm so filled with fear that the thought of letting anybody see me, who I am, is overwhelming. And what she had me do is she had me write an autobiography, and we laugh about it today. She had me write an autobiography, and we went down to the beach. Back then I was smoking and biting my fingernails, and she's reading my autobiography with a red pen. I don't know if that's true, but in my head it's a red pen. And I'm dying with that story. It was a red pen. And she's like making notes, and I'm smoking like, oh my God, I feel like I'm failing life, because she's like circling things. It was like school, D grades were good, oh shit, you know. You know, I thought she was going to say, sorry, Kim, I can't sponsor you. You have to go somewhere else, you know. So I wrote an autobiography, and it was the first time that I even sort of shared part of, just a little bit of part of who I could with someone else. I would have a few friends. I call them hostages. Other people would call them friends, but I call them hostages. And I would just tell each of them a little piece of my story. And God forbid they all get in the same party, and then they know me, and then I'm in trouble. What did I tell you? What did I tell you? What if you know each other? Oh, my gosh, the insanity of it all. So when I told her at least the best I could with that that first autobiography, that was the beginning of my recovery. And we went through the steps, and I remember doing my first four-step with her, and I was reading my fifth step to her, and she said, "What about your dad?" You know, my biological dad. And I said, because I'm not going to swear tonight, you know, explanation, you know. I said, "What about him? He means nothing to me." And heed your sponsor's warning if they say anything that sounds like, "Don't worry, we'll wait." Listen to them when they tell you that, I said, "Wait for what? Nothing's ever going to happen with that, you know." And she said, "Don't worry, we'll wait." And she was right. And fast forward, I'm doing the Al-Anon program, I'm going to meetings. I go to 3 or 4 meetings a week. I go to conventions. I'm doing the deal. I'm doing the deal the best I can for then 28, 29 year old. And one night at my Thursday night meeting, in he walked, tattoos and earrings, and I went, "Oh yeah, he is my man." And then I got pregnant. I don't know how it happened. It was the weirdest thing. It was so weird. Like, hi to pregnant. How did that happen? That's the craziest thing. So I was 5 years in the program. So if you're kind of 5 or 6 years in the program and you're still kind of crazy, you know, it's part of the deal. And I remember when I went to tell him I was pregnant, he said, "You're what?" And I knew I was in big trouble. And what happened was the first person I called was my sponsor. And she and I went to my grand sponsor's house and talked about the situation. And, you know, I'd already told you what I did, you know, that 10 years before. And so not going forward with this was not an option. And they both told me, they sort of sat me down and said, "Spiritually, you're going to have to be a single mom, Kim, whether the dad's in your life or not. You're going to be a single mom." And I said, "Okay, I'm ready for the challenge." And for this second born, very immature, very lazy, very, like the alcoholic, "Screw you, hooray." I was so unable to be of any kind of any responsibility. I mean, luck, I had a job and an apartment and I did all that, but like this was bigger than a chia pet, for cry ya, you know. I'm like, oh, and I can't even keep a chia pet alive. Oh my God. So really one of the bravest things I think I did was I went to my Friday night home group. And if you don't have a home group, you're, again, doing yourself a disservice. Because what happened is I went to that Friday night home group, and I stood up and I said, "I'm Kim, and I'm going to have a baby." And they all went, "Yay, Kim, we're so glad you're part of our fold. you know, we're so glad you're part of our fold, and we're going to do it together. And my son came into the world like the movie Parenthood. At the end, when they're, I don't know if you've seen it, but it brings tears every time I see it. Like in Parenthood, they were all there. My people were all there. My sponsor was there. I was actually in an AA meeting with Joyce and Howard in labor, in the bathroom going, oh my God, Joyce, you know. And they were all there. But years before, if I had done, you know, if things had been different when I was 20, there wouldn't have been anybody there. Maybe my family, maybe one friend. There wouldn't have been like when he came into this world. And he came into this world and they all just went, oh, just another one of us. And I am so grateful that my son was born into this program the way he was, and that he doesn't have, I am a crazy person, so for you men, if you're married, I want you to go home and be so grateful you're married to your wife, and not me, because I'm still really crazy. Ask him. We have a friend, my friends Christine and Tommy, every time they see us, they go, oh, Tommy goes, oh, Anthony, I don't know how you do it with her. I'm so happy I'm married to Christine. but anyway, so my son came into the program, and he has the chance, now he's almost 18, he has the chance of a life that I never had. My mom knew there was something wrong with our family. My mom knew of preteen or alateen when I was in high school, and we knew the elephant was in the living room, and no one named it. And my dad actually, at one point, my mom, you know, got my dad into therapy, and the therapist was like this close to my dad, acknowledging and accepting that maybe there might be a problem. And what happened was the next time they went to the counseling session, the therapist said, you know what, I've been giving it some thought. I don't think you're an alcoholic. And out it went. Then the thought never came back into his, so it was right there. Some acceptance, possibly some change in our family. And the therapist said, I don't think you are. And he just went, whew, whoa, got past that one. And, but my son now has the chance of a life that that I never had. And so my son's 18, and that sent me on, I got to wrap it up. That sent me on a spin, because that whole family over here that I never saw, when my son was born, and then he started growing hair, it was red. It still is red for all of you who know. He has red hair, but no one on this family has red hair. So what it is brought up all this old stuff. So when Aleb told me, don't worry, we'll wait, Kim, she wasn't lying, because it hit like a volcano. It hit so bad. I thought I was going insane that first year when my son was born. And what happened is a chain of events is my biological family got a hold of us, got a hold of me, and I took my son when he was about 18 months old back to Chicago to see this side of the family. And what had happened is my biological father had a stroke, and he couldn't talk. And I thought, son of a, what do you mean you can't talk? I have questions. I have a list of questions in my head. Why did you leave us? Why did you give me up? Why didn't you stay in touch with us? Why? And I had a list. And my friend Holly says, you're not supposed to know those answers. And I thought, well, I don't like you very much anymore. next hostage, thank you. so what happened is, I went and brought my son back there, and by this time he had red curly hair like Bozo, and he was adorable. And what happened is my biological father just sat there in his wheelchair and just kissed and stroked my hand. He couldn't say a word, and I hadn't seen him in 30 years. 30 years, I haven't seen him in 30 years. And that was a big step. And years before that, he had tried to get a hold of us. And because I was still self-righteous, screw you, look what you've done to me, I didn't put it out there to have a relationship at that time. I used all my very colorful vocabulary when he was on the phone. And the wounded kid in me just said, screw you. And when it came up this time, I really thought, what a bummer. I really screwed myself this time. I could have had possibly that time for who knows what, but at least I would have thought I'd tried something. So going back and seeing him was a big deal, and it was only because of working the steps, and it was only because of coming to program. And I tell you, when I had one of my first commitments was coffee at the Friday night Woodland Hills meeting, and it's a big group, and it's when we had the ceramic coffee cups instead of those styrofoam. They're so bad for the environment. Anyway, I had that commitment, and it was the best commitment because it was all women and we were all talking, and I had never shared what I had done when I was 20. Never shared it with anybody. And what I got to hear is all these women sharing similar stories. And I heard all of you out there sharing similar stories to my mom, everybody I hear is a member of my family that I get to hear those stories through them. And what happened is going to all those meetings and hearing the women share about, yeah, you know, sometimes we do have overlapping relationships, as my sponsor likes to call them. You know, sometimes we do have that. And I had to accept that that's what happened. And it was only because of coming in the program. So now I'm going to fast forward. So here's this cute guy sitting right up here. We've been together almost 11 years. And yeah, wow, no shit. Wow. It feels like 111 sometimes for both of us, I'm sure. But we have not had an easy marriage. And so this is going to be the quiz. Who's sicker, me or him? So... And you guys better answer correctly or you're in big trouble. So here I am, 14 years in Al-Anon, woo, single mom, working the program. Mm-mm. And here's this guy, both of us teaching spin at our little neighborhood gym. And one day he says, "Hi, Kim, this is my wife, blah, blah, blah." And I went, "Oh, shoot, another one gone. Dang it. He has blue eyes. He's cute. He bike rides." And then, I don't know, it seemed like a minute and a half later, he's like, "I don't have a wife anymore." And I said, "Oh my God, and I'm single." How's that for crazy? So, okay, so the question, who's crazier? Him, coming out of a 14-year marriage and only being single, and I use that term loosely, for 6 weeks, or me, 14 years, meaning going out with him. And y'all better be thinking it's him, because I'm not the crazy one. Anyway, so we started our journey going on 11 years ago, and it's not been the easiest of journeys for me. Being single all those years and being a single mom and having my game plan how I have it, I say he was cute and he cooked well. Again, not having a list of, well, if you're going to ask for a mate, how about one who, you know, has similar goals and objectives? Mine was going on a bike ride. That was a goal and objective. You know, are we on a spiritual path together? Hell no. He was crazier than crazy when I met him. And it stirred the pot, and it really, our marriage was hard. And what happened was a couple years ago, about 2.5 years ago, I was looking for an apartment. I said, I gotta go. My life is recovery. I have my son to grow up in a house that's sort of semi-sane, and it wasn't feeling that way. And I'd done a lot of work with my sponsor, and I shared with, you know, it says share in a general way. And for me, for that period of time, I really had to share in a general way at meetings. He goes to meetings, and I really couldn't get into a lot of detail. So again, if you don't have a sponsor, you're really going to miss out on having the ability to really have just that one person. And so I had my sponsor close by, and you know, we worked the steps, and we did what we needed to do. And I said, I have to go. And I was looking for an apartment, and he said, let me try one more time, and we did. I heard a speaker at a meeting one time say, "I can no longer be in a relationship with someone who's not in recovery because the ism, whatever it is just too big for me." And I went, "Oh, that's what it is. The ism that I was presented with being married was just way too big for me." And he was, you know, it's his story, but it just wasn't grooving in our house. And it started to groove when I said I had to go. And he knew I was done. He knew it. I was at the AOG convention, and I left my dress at home. And so I called him, and he was going to come down. And I called him and said, "You have to bring me my dress. I can't go to the luncheon without a dress." And he's like, what I didn't know at the time was he wasn't planning on coming down because he knew it was over. So he's like, "I got to bring her dress." And that's where he had his spiritual awakening at that weekend. And had he not brought me my dress, you would have a different speaker here tonight, because we would definitely be divorced. It was hard having the blended family to get. His stuff is not the same as my stuff. And when I'm presented with things I don't know anything about, I get crazy. And so I was able to work the steps, and you know, not like I said, it's going on about 2.5 years ago that was. And we've been together 11 years and married 8 years. And I remember at our wedding, some of you were there, at our wedding, all my friends like, Anthony's going to cry like a baby. I said, he's going to cry like a baby. So we had all the Kleenex and the girls in the front row to throw at Anthony when he cries like a baby, right? And he didn't cry. I cried. I cried like a baby. I cried like a baby the whole day, the whole night, into the next day, and into the next week. And what happened was I remember calling my sponsor not too long after that. And she was in Florida. We figured she was out of town. And I was standing in the middle of the street. And I said, I think I cried because I made a really big mistake. Because this is really hard. And she said, well, let's just do it today. You know, we're just going to do it today. And I'm glad we're not divorced. I like him most days. I like him most days. And part of why I'd like to say my last name is because we were married 7 years. And I never changed my last name. And I just changed it a year ago. Just a year ago summer. And then we got into a fight, and I thought, son of a bitch, I just changed my last name. What the heck? You can't leave me now. I just changed it, damn it. But that's the an old-timer in the pro in NAA said, Kim, you're not changing your name because you don't want to commit to it. And I didn't, and I said, I don't know if I like him or not. I don't know if it's going to work. And so now I changed my name, so now I'm stuck with him for now. And it's good, and it's good, and it's all good. And I don't know. I feel like the birthday people. Oh, yeah. Happy birthday to the birthday people. Sorry, I forgot to say that. I'm so happy. Birthdays are amazing. And I have 24, and I've never left. And because I'm already, can you imagine me without program? My family, no. I've never left, and I've always come to program. And I may not have always worked it the best. I may not have always carried it and showed it the best way. And I may have not always have been a woman of grace and dignity, but I'll tell you what, I have a sponsor who walks the program. She is an example of grace and dignity, and I call her my marshmallow sponsor because she's my third sponsor, and she's at the right and perfect time. Because if I would have had her, she's just way too nice. If I would have had her when I first came in, I would have been like, I can't stay. I needed someone to kick my ass. Now I just have her, and she's been my sponsor for 8 years. She's hung with me the longest. She said, third time's the lucky charm. I said, or it's three strikes, I'm out. So I don't know, you know, how it's going to go. But she shows me on a daily basis what it's like to be in a marriage and to be nice to each other and to be gentle with each other. And when Anthony and I got married, I told him, I said, I don't know, it's just not like that Ozzy and Harriet family. And she said, no, you're going to be like the Bunkers. You're going to just be loud, loud. He's big, he's loud, we're loud, we growl. But underneath there, you know, underneath that is love. And I wouldn't have thought of it that way. I was like, it's not the picture. And Lynn always tells me, we have to smash the picture of what we think our life is supposed to look like. I have to smash that picture of what I think my family should look like, because it's what it looks like, and it's good. And if I could just step back and look at it through God's eyes, you know, I'm in the right and perfect place, and so are all of you. Thanks for letting me share.